And I've got a thought here in just a moment. We'll be reading from Matthew chapter 14 this morning, if you want to go ahead and turn there. But I appreciate each one of you. Appreciate the Lord, what He's been doing the last few, matter of fact, the whole school year. The Lord reminded me this week, actually it was Sunday morning, as our pastor was preaching, he had mentioned something about how we should bless His name. And although I have done that, but there's been a lot of areas where I guess I failed to bless Him and thank Him and just tell Him how thankful that I've been. And one of them was just the school that came on my heart and how He's done such great things here this year in our school and how we've had, I think it's 9 already saved this year, and many of those was during our camp meeting. But I've just began to think about how good He's been. And about all those that He saved, that's, you know what, that they're going to be in heaven with me one day. And I begin to think about some of those that have acknowledged to me in the last few weeks that they're not saved, and my burden for them has grown and grown and grown, that, boy, I pray this morning be the morning that one of them, if not all of them, will get saved if they hadn't already. Begin to think and begin to bless Him for all those that's maybe come into my office and sat down, discouraged and down and out and defeated and just could care less really about their life and the path and the way that everything was going, family problems, different things that's going on, and how some of those have been able to come back to me weeks and months later and say, you know what, God has just done such great things in my life since we talked. And it had no way, shape, or form am I bragging on myself. It wasn't me. It's the Lord working in their life. And I wanted to preach over there this morning in Psalms 106. The Lord has done great things for me. And just tell about all the great things that I could think of. But that's not what the Lord wanted me to preach. But I do want to tell Him this morning that I am thankful. I'm thankful that I'm able to be here at Holy Ground Baptist Academy. I take that, you know what, I don't know if I truly appreciate sometimes just how blessed I am to be here with all of you. And I hope that you feel the same way. You know what, each one of you that sat in here this morning, you're blessed. Your parents are making sacrifices that you don't even know. One day you will. You'll realize just what sacrifice they went through to have you in a Christian school. And I don't take that lightly, and I know that I've got a big responsibility. And I appreciate my teachers. I don't tell you enough, ladies. And thank you, thank you, thank you for what you do. And it's because of you too that these kids are coming to know the Lord. It's because of you that, you know what, they're drawing closer to Him. And it's because of you too that lives are changing for the better. And so I just wanted to get that out of the way this morning. Just wanted to tell Him I love Him. I love Him this morning. I feel like He's been better to me than anybody else in the world. I've heard people say that, but I do. I truly feel like He's been better to me than anybody else in the world. And but I'm so thankful that He saved me, and I appreciate you being here this morning. I ask you to do one thing this morning. Hey, you open up your hearts and minds, and you just be receptive to the Holy Spirit. And hey, if He burdens you to move, I don't care if it's during the preaching. We got other preachers here that come pray with you, your teachers, your classmates. You know what, at any time you need to come to this altar, you come down here. And but if He burdens your heart this morning, whether it's for salvation or service or whatever it is, I just pray that you be obedient. Just be obedient. That's all I ask you to do this morning. And if you do that, you know what, when you leave, walk out those doors, you know what, you can say, hey, I've done what the Lord had said or told me to do this morning. Matthew chapter number 14, love this story. All of you, I'm sure, has heard the story before, and I may take a little different twist with it this morning than I have in the past, and you may have heard it preached before, but this is the story, and I'm going to read the scripture in a minute, but where Jesus came to His disciples, and there in the middle of the night, and He was walking on the water, and Peter, as they saw Him, and the Bible says that Peter said, Lord, if it's Thou, bid me to come to You. And we know that Peter began to walk on the water, and there he took his eyes off of Jesus. And, We'll talk about that too, and begin to sink. He said, "Lord, save me." But this story we read, we've heard it in Sunday school. I remember hearing it in Sunday school, and I've taught the story in Sunday school, and I've heard it preached many times. I've read the story. I've read it to my children at the bedside, and so we all probably have heard something about this story this morning. But as I began to last few weeks, as I read this, and I began to think about it, I had this thought that popped in my mind that I want to share with you and preach on this morning is when your eyes are fixed on Jesus. When your eyes are fixed on Jesus. And that would be my title this morning, when your eyes are fixed on Jesus. Notice I didn't say when my eyes are fixed on Him. Now my eyes, I fit in as that you also. But as far as your walk with the Lord and your personal walk with Him, your everyday walk with Him, listen, what I do and my eyes being fixed on Him may not help you not one bit. And I want you to think of you personally this morning, hey, when you fix your eyes on Jesus. And listen, that should be our heart's desire as Christian. The word Christian means what? To be Christ-like. And who better to look at if we want to pattern ourselves after Christ is to look at Christ. Now, I do get help from other men. I saw Brother Michael come in. I love you, Brother Michael. He's my dear friend, and he's helped me more than he knows since we've probably known each other 7-8 years, I guess. And maybe even longer than that. I'm not sure. But I've got help from him. There's times I've went to him, and I've drew wisdom from him, and I've asked him questions, and there's others that I can go to. And my dad, I pattern him. He's one of the most humble men that I know. And I look at him. And you know what? I've learned from him. But our example is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more we read the Word, the more we read about Him, you know what? The better understanding that we'll have about Him. But when you fix your eyes on Jesus, I think there's some things. I've got 3 points this morning that I want to get across to you. 3 points. But when you fix your eyes on Jesus, let me say, number one, that you will not be ashamed. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, you know what? You will not be ashamed. This past Sunday, and the Lord has been doing great things here the last few weeks at Holy Ground, and we've had several people saved, and we've had several that's joined the church and been baptized, But one this past week had stood up and had gotten saved this past Sunday morning, and you know what? It was just bubbling over inside of him, and he stood up and he said, "You know what? This is what he said. He said, I am no longer ashamed. I am no longer ashamed." Now, what he meant was, I'm no longer ashamed of you know what, knowing that I'm lost and pretending and coming and going through the motion. I thought he was saved, but you know what? He said from his own, with a loud voice so everybody could hear, he said, I am no longer ashamed. And you know what? In our lives sometimes, and I challenge you this morning, hey, when our eyes are truly fixed on him, and I'm not saying that we glance at him, and I'm not saying that we take a glance at him and then all of a sudden our eyes are back on something else, maybe the worldly things or something else. But I mean, when our eyes are truly fixed on him, I mean, that means that they are permanently fixed on him so that I'm not moving. I'm watching him. When we get to that point, listen, we will not be ashamed. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth. You know what? Hey, if you're saved in here this morning, you should not be ashamed, not one bit. Not to anybody in any shape, in any form whatsoever. And I believe this, if you're truly, truly saved in here this morning, and I know, hey, the older we get, maybe as young kids sometimes we don't quite grasp it as early. But I mean, listen, when we're saved, you know what? We're going to want to tell somebody. We're going to want others to know. You know what? You're going to want your friends to know what the Lord has done for you inside. And you know what? When you see them doing and acting and saying things and carrying on a lifestyle that's not pleasing to Him, and you know it, you know what? Inside of you, being not ashamed means that you're going to stand up and you're going to say, you know what? What you're doing is not right. I wonder how many of us in here this morning, I wonder how many of you, how many of you, maybe even you and some of your friends that sat in here, you know they're in things that they shouldn't be in. They're doing things that they shouldn't be doing, but yet you keep your mouth closed. The Bible says this, faithful are the wounds of a friend. I remember several years ago, about 2 or 3 years into the ministry, one of my dearest friends got away from God, got out in the world doing things that he shouldn't supposed to be doing, shouldn't be doing. Boy, I wanted to go talk to him, and I had to, and I did, and I went, but I remember being nervous, and I remember on the way over there, the Lord giving me that verse. I'd read it, but the Lord kept reminding me, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know what? As I got over there, and in the most kind way that I could, I didn't confront him to beat him down, but you know what? I just said, hey, look, I love you. This ain't right. You know it. And you know what? He was so mad at me. And for years we didn't talk. Just didn't pass. He was so mad at me. I say, all that time the Lord kept saying, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And you know what? A few years later, guess what? One night about 9 o'clock, I had a knock on my door. I may just run this morning. Had a knock on my door, and you know what? Guess who it was? It was him. Hey, and he hugged my neck. Boy, we sat in my porch swing, and we just had a time, and he said, I love you. And he said, you know what? If you never confronted me, there's no telling where I would have been today. And today, he's back in church. He's serving the Lord. And I mean, God's using him. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Some of you in here need to take a stand. Hey, being not ashamed means, you know what? You're going to stand up for him. Hey, I mean, you're going to stand up for him. Say, I'm not ashamed. Number one, you're going to personally say, Lord, I love you. I'm not ashamed. I don't care who knows it. I'm going to tell the whole world. Number two, it means that, you know what? We're going to stand up and take a stand. That, you know what? We're going to help our friends and our families and our neighbors. And you know what? We're going to help them and guide them along the way as best that we can. Number three, it means that, you know what, you may have to really take a stand and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. I love you, but you know it's wrong. And you know what, you need to stop it. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And I know, especially this group right here, I know the pressures that you go through. I know what pressures I went through when I was your age, and I know it's even more now. But you know what? I promise you this. You stand for the right things in life. You stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I promise you, you will never, ever stand alone. There may be times, I mean short periods of times, and there may be times where you may feel like you're alone. My Bible tells me that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And it may be your friends for just a little while that leave you and not stand by you. But you know what? He's right there with you. And sooner or later, you know what? You'll have somebody else that'll come up and stand with you too. Listen, when your eyes are fixed on Jesus, hey, you won't be ashamed. You won't be ashamed. I believe as long as I live, I believe what I heard Sunday morning will be just like a picture in my mind and music to my ears. I am no longer ashamed. Let me say this morning, I'm not ashamed. I love him this morning. Boy, I ask him this morning, hey, forgive me. If there's ever been a time in my life, coming up on 13 years, I've been saved. Boy, if I've let him down, if I hadn't stood the way I should, he forgive me. But let me say number two, hey, you fix your eyes upon Jesus and you'll draw closer to him. You'll draw closer to him. Number one, hey, you won't be ashamed. But number two, you'll draw closer to him. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and James 4 and 8, the Bible says, draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. Early in my ministry, I was saved almost 13 years ago, April the 30th, be 13 years. The third Saturday in August, I finally, about right here, third Saturday in August 2003, about right here, I knelt down and I surrendered my call to preach. Been running for over a year. Couldn't run no further. I felt like the Lord was going to kill me that morning if I didn't surrender. And I remember that morning how I just, when I surrendered, and that's always been one of my favorite verses, but how that morning I literally felt like the Lord picked me up and just had me in his arms. And not long after that, Brother Michael, I thought that, boy, I began to pray. I preached my first service here. Brother Keith was always really good about letting those preach their first message here in our church and announced, and this church always has done that. And many, it's announced in the last couple years, Brother Kelly does that, and we've always had. I remember preaching my first message here. My second message was Kelly and Brother Kelly and Keith's dad, Brother Billy, let me come preach at their church. And the third message was over at Eastside, and from there in the jails and different things. And boy, I thought I was the greatest preacher that they ever was, Brother Michael. I mean, I thought I was just the greatest thing. And you know what? The Lord, right off, about 3 months later, again, put me on my back so that I couldn't move for a few weeks and let me know right off the bat that, you know what, that without him, I could literally do nothing. That without him, I could do nothing. And you know what? It wasn't me, but it was him. And I learned some lessons. The Lord's taught me some valuable lessons. But through that time, he kept saying to me, Greg, you draw closer to me, and I'll draw closer to you. And I love that verse. And what it means is sometimes I believe we don't, and I use it a lot. I'm going to use an illustration in just a moment, but drawing nigh to someone, I'm close to everybody in here this morning. Y'all can hear my voice. I mean, you know what? Just a couple of steps and we could actually just handshake or whatever. We're close in here this morning. And our relationships in here, to some of you, we've got closer relationships than others, but I believe what this verse really means is not being just in a close proximity. But I mean, I believe when he says draw nigh to God, that he means truly draw nigh. Come here, ring it. I'll use you this morning. How about that? I mean, I believe drawing nigh means, and I've used this before. You hug me, okay? Even if you don't want to. But I believe this is what draw nigh means. I believe that when we draw nigh to God, that we say, Lord, I'm yours, and I need you. And I believe this is what it means when he says that he's going to draw nigh to us. But you know what? And I felt it before that, you know what? I felt like the Lord just picked me up. And you know what? That he just carried me everywhere I went. And I mean every need that I had, he supplied. I mean, when I needed somebody to talk to, he was there to listen. Hey, when I needed strength, he was there to give me strength. And I believe that's what the Bible means when it says draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto us. Listen, I can be close here. You know what? And I can be close and nigh. But you know what? Really in my heart, really not won't even have anything to do with it. Just because we come to church doesn't mean that we really want to be here. Some of you come because your parents just drag you to church. You know, your heart's somewhere else. Even this morning, you know what? You're in a house of worship, and you know what? Your mind is out there somewhere else on other things going on. I'm talking about when we fix our eyes on him. And you know what that means? That nothing else matters. We fix our eyes on him, it'll draw us closer to God. Let's look back in the scripture for just a moment. Number one, you'll not be ashamed. Let me go back and say this just for a moment. Verse 26, the Bible says that the disciples saw him. They all saw him. And in verse number 28, it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, come unto me on the water. You know what? Peter was not ashamed. He got out of the boat, and you know what? He took off walking on the water toward Jesus. He was not ashamed. Let me say here, number two, that we will draw, when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, you will draw closer to him. And in verse number 29, it says, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And you know what? That means if Jesus was at that back door and I was Peter, when he got on the water, he began to walk toward Jesus. Now look at me. I'm getting closer and closer to that door as I walk, am I not? Now that's literally walking. I'm getting closer to that door. Let me say this, spiritually speaking, in our lives, when we draw nigh unto him, we get closer to him. You know what? He means more to us. You know what? Instead of overlooking some things in our life, we won't overlook those. You know what? Instead of, well, I'll do this tomorrow for you, Lord, you'll do it for him today. I mean drawing closer to him. Peter literally drew closer to him that day as he walked on the water. And in my life, there's been times, you know what? It's like been like a roller coaster. And I mean, I got saved, and right off the bat, boy, it went up. And then all of a sudden, guess what? Man, we were down in a valley. And you know what? The Lord taught us some things, and all of a sudden, hey, we were back up on the mountaintop shouting it out. Boy, things are good, and things are good. And then all of a sudden, you come into another valley. And then there'd be another mountaintop. And I stood here, I think it was a year ago, the third Wednesday in January a year ago, I stood in this very pulpit and I made this comment. I was teaching the book in Sunday school, and I made it in Sunday school, have faith in God. And the Lord revealed to me that, you know what, 2012, Brother Greg, is going to be a year of faith for you and your family. I said it from right here. Some of you probably remember that. And there was nobody in the world, I don't think, happier to see 2012 pass than me and my family. Because it was a year of trials. And I stood here that morning stating that, and I said this, and it scares me in a sense because I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. I don't know what I'm going to go through, what I'm going to face. But it seemed like one trial after another, after another, after another. I'm talking about physically, I'm talking about mentally and spiritually, how we were just attacked and how Satan, you know what, tried his best to discourage us. I preached last week at Wit's End. What do you do when you're at Wit's End? You know what, I thought about Wit's End a lot last year. I did. And every time I did, you know what, the Lord would say, draw nigh unto me and I draw nigh unto you. Let me say this morning, you may be here. You may not quite understand. Maybe you've got questions, and you know what? You're in the right place this morning. But I can promise you this, when you fix your eyes on Jesus, you won't be ashamed of him. And number two, you know what? Number two, you'll draw closer to him. I just don't want to know him. I want to know him really, really well. I don't want to just know him. I mean, I want to know him so well that, you know what? Hey, he is really my best friend. And I'm not ashamed to let everybody know that. I love my wife. I love my children. I love y'all. But you know what? I love him more this morning. And that don't in one way, shape, or form degrade my family or y'all anyway. My love for him this morning is greater than any. And I know that he loves me too. We got to fix our eyes on Jesus. Sometimes we may ride down the road and we look over and we see something all of a sudden and it catches our eye, and just for a minute we see it, but then it's gone. We have a glimpse of it. Sometimes there may be things that we stare at and we fix our eyes on for a little while, and then you know what? We move on to something else. And I'm saying this morning, spiritually, listen, we need to fix our eyes upon Jesus. And when we do that, number three, when you fix your eyes upon Jesus, you'll separate yourself from others. You'll separate yourself from others. Now, I want to say a couple things here and go back to verse 26. The Bible says, well, let me come back to that in a minute. Let me say, number one, there's probably people that's in your life, friends that's in your life, people that you talk to, people that you text, people that you Facebook, people that you tweet, people that you do all that stuff with, communicate with in some way, shape, or form. There's probably folks in your life right now that they do one thing, and that's drag you down. I know. I've been there. Hey, I know how it feels, and I know how it is to have to tell your best friend, look, I don't believe the same way anymore. I can't do the same things anymore. I'm a different man now. I'm a different person. The Lord's changed my heart. My desires aren't what they used to be, and I'm sorry, but as long as you're going to continue to do that, I can't be a part of this anymore. I know how that feels. I know how it feels to be laughed at and mocked at, you know, mocked on too, because you mean, oh, you're one of them, you're just saved in the Holy Road. I sure am this morning, and I'm not ashamed of it. But you know what? There's probably people in your lives this morning that are a hindrance to you. They're a hindrance to you. You know what? You fix your eyes on him for a little while. Hey, you're not ashamed of him. You're drawing closer to him. Things in your life are looking up. I mean, man, you're things are great, and you're thinking and praising him, and all of a sudden somebody comes along. Guess what? Jerks all that right out from under you. And all of a sudden your eyes are no longer fixed on him, but they're fixed on somebody else or the world or something else. Be careful. Why? Choose your friends wisely. Let me tell you, number one, a good place to choose friends. I believe the best place to choose a friend is in church. I believe that. In your youth group, and I'll get on that in just a minute. Be a good place to choose some friends. I'm talking about share your heart. You know what? You share your heart with them so that they know where you stand. Don't let them just share their heart with you and then all of a sudden you try to fit in with them. Hey, you need to stand up and say, hey, this is what the Bible, this is my standards. This is what I'm going to do. Hey, this is how I'm going to live. And you know what? If you want to be a part of my life, then, hey, these are the things that we're going to do. That's part of not being ashamed too, by the way. But you know what? We'll never take that stand. We'll never do those things. Unless, number one, we fix our eyes on Jesus. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. The world there, it's talking about the word, come out from among the world and be ye separate. Sometimes in our life, you know what? We got to come out from among them. I'm going to say sometimes. If they're dragging us down, we got to come out from among them and be separate from them. Separate yourself from them. And then let me say this right here. The Lord showed me this morning on the way here. In verse 26, the Bible says, and when the disciples saw him, they all saw him. Okay? All the disciples saw Jesus. The Bible says there they were afraid, thought it was a spirit, but they realized that it was the Lord, and Peter got out of the boat and began to walk toward Jesus. But let me say this. When our eyes are fixed on him, we're not ashamed of him. We draw closer to him. You know what? Even as a group of saved people, maybe even in your youth group at your church or our school and sex of people, I'm talking about let me just take this front row here for example, you five boys. Let's just say all of you saved, and I hope all of you are. But you know what? I mean, and all of you love the Lord. You're in Christian school. You're in churches. But I'm just saying, when you really fix your eyes on the Lord, you know what? They may be one of you that, you know what, might just excel way above the other. And what I mean is your burden to serve him may be so much greater than everybody else's. And everybody be saved. And everybody be in a Christian school. And everybody be in a good church. But yet, you know what? Because your eyes are fixed on Him, you're not ashamed at all. Hey, every day you begging God, draw closer to me, Lord. You know what? You're praying that God will do something great in your life. You know what? It may be you that excels above everybody else. You'll separate yourself from some people. And I'm not saying that you forget about, hey, they're good, they're brothers, they're serving too. But you know what? They may not have the same burden in life that you have. You know what? Sometimes we think, well, we're saved and we all go to church and school. And you know what? We just, that should be good enough. Listen, as long as we draw in breath on this earth, it's never going to be good enough for what Christ done for us at Calvary. He paid a price that we could not pay. He died for our sins, shed His blood for our sins, that we might have an opportunity one day to be saved. But you know what? Hey, you might be able to rise up and above. I mean, listen, I want to get as close to Him as I can. And you know what? And by doing that and by me doing what the Lord wants me to do, you know what? My spiritual walk with Him, you know what? May be above the spiritual walk of somebody else. You know what? Hey, their life with Him, and if we had a scale in here, and you know what? We all at different levels, probably spiritually. Some would be at the same, some different, some higher than others. But you know what? When we fix our eyes truly on Him, you know what? You may come up and excel right above. I mean, you may come up and you know what? Praise the Lord. And you know what? How many times have you heard me stand up here? How many times have you heard us preach? And how many times in life have you heard us say, listen, we need leaders? You know, we need leaders. We don't need, you know what? It's easy to follow somebody. And if you're not leading, guess what you're doing? You're following. But we need leaders. And you know what? When people begin to rise up a little bit, and not boasting yourself, not putting yourself on a pedestal. Please don't misunderstand me this morning. But I mean that you know what? Hey, that you excel in the faith greater than others. And you know what? Hey, that's what we need, leaders. You know what? People that may look at you and say, well, man, I'm doing the same things he is. I go to the same church, the same school, same class, same... Why in the world is all of a sudden that he seemed happier and the Lord's blessing him more and all that? What, you know what? It may be that, hey, he's excelled in the faith greater than you have. Let me say this. The Bible says that we're born with a measure of faith. And what we do with that is our choice. You know what? I can right now walk out those doors, never step back in church again, and you know what? I would never grow spiritually at all anymore. And slowly I'd begin to forget things, and you know what? I would be nowhere near. I'd be in a backslidden condition, far away from God. But you know what? If we keep praying, we keep thanking Him. I mean, we keep praising Him. We keep living for Him. We keep singing for Him. I mean, we just keep on keeping on, keeping on. When we fix our eyes on Him, fix our eyes spiritually on Him so that you know what? He's what we live. He's what we breathe. Throughout the day, we're thinking about Him and what He wants in our life, what He has for us, what His future is for us. You know what? When we fix our eyes on Him, things begin to look up in our life. You won't be ashamed. You'll be closer to Him. And you know what? You'll find yourself separating from others. This morning, listen, I'm glad that my eyes are fixed on Him. And let me say this, my eyes ain't always been fixed on Him. I'm not talking about salvation. You can't lose your salvation. Once you're saved for eternity. But you know what? There's been times that my eyes hadn't been fixed on Him. There's been times in my life since I've been saved that I've taken my eyes off of Him. And you know what? All of a sudden they were fixed on other things in life. And those are the times in my life when, you know what, the Lord has gave me some whippings. And I'm going to give you an example here, and I'll be done. Miss Melissa, if you'll come on to the piano. verse number 20, it says, and he, Peter said, or Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Listen to this. But when he, Peter, saw the wind boisterous, he, Peter, was afraid. And beginning to sink, he, Peter, cried, saying, Lord, save me. You know what happened is Peter here, we see that he had his eyes fixed on the Lord, and boy, he was not ashamed. He got out of that boat. You know what? He began to draw nigh unto God, or unto the Lord Jesus as he walked to him. You know what? He was doing right. He had set, as he would begin to walk toward Jesus, he was separating himself from the other disciples which loved Jesus also. Okay? That's that rising up and above in the faith. So all these things was taking place in Peter's life. And all of a sudden, he took his eyes off of Jesus there. And guess what he began to see? The Bible says that he saw that the winds were boisterous. I mean, and the waves, if you look at that, it means that the waves was raging. And the wind was blowing. And I'm sure it was howling. But yet, you know, he had his eyes fixed on Jesus. He was walking to him. He was getting closer to him. He was separating himself and from the other disciples, and all of a sudden, when he took his eyes off of Jesus, what happened? He began to sink. He began to sink. And I say this, and when you take your eyes off of Jesus, when they're not fixed on him, you know what? You'll begin to sink spiritually. You will. The devil will put things in your life, and you know what? He'll put things in your life that takes up time. You know what, that you usually would spend with the Lord. He'll do things. Listen, he deceived Eve in the garden in a perfect environment. Don't think he can't deceive you in this worldly world that we live in today. But he began to sink when he took his eyes off of Jesus. He was just, sometimes, you know what, we're distracted. I got written in my Bible there, you know what, he began to sink, he was distracted. He had doubt. You know what? There's some different things. You know what? But you know what he did? He said, Lord, save me. He said, Lord, save me. And the Bible said immediately. And that means at that very moment, not just a few seconds later, but that very moment, Jesus reached down and he grabbed him. You know what? And he saved him. Not, I'm talking about in the water. He reached down and grabbed him and pulled him up out of that water. Let me say this morning, spiritually speaking. You may be here this morning and you're at that point in your life. You're at that point in your life that, hey, you know you're lost. Some of you have told me and sitting here and told me and come in my office and told me. Maybe this morning is a morning that you know what? Your heart's pounding and you don't know what's going on. You know that you're lost already and you know that if you died you'd go to hell. But you know what? Maybe this morning you literally feel like you're sinking. The only thing you got to do is just cry out to him, Lord, save me this morning. Lord, save me. Some of you may be saved in here this morning. You've just taken your eyes off of him just like Peter did. And you feel like you're sinking this morning. Well, you know what? You can just say, Lord, save me. Number one, this morning, Lord, just save me from going any further away from you, Lord. From drifting any further away from me. Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. And God, I mean, and you fix your eyes again on him and let him lead you and guide you. Maybe you're here just discouraged or whatever this morning. Listen, there's help. There's help here this morning. As we all stand together this morning, hey, listen, I challenge you to do this. If the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, I want you to come this morning as we play. Why don't you come this morning?